Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Blevins.
Here.
Flickery.
Here.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell. Campbell. Kennedy.
Here.
Coleman.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Filer.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Gingery,
Goggles, Greer, Green, Green, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Hutchings, Yagi, Kasparic, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Crone, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Laux, Madden, Mater, McKim,
here.
Miller,
here.
Moniz,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Northrup,
here.
Patton,
here.
Paxton,
here.
Petroff, Piperinen, Reeder, Simlick,
here.
Summers,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Teeters,
here.
Throne, Throne, Throne excused, Walters,
here.
Watt,
here.
Wilson,
here.
Winters,
here.
Swanitzer Dan,
here.
Swanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Campbell,
here.
Green,
here.
Crone,
excuse.
Crone excused, Laux,
here.
58 present, 2 excused.
The prayer of the day is offered by Reverend Bob Girard, representing the First Presbyterian Church.
Let us pray. Creator of us all, we praise you for the beauty of this state and each creature and person in it. As your light shined upon the earth as it was formed, may it also shine into, through, and out of the minds and hearts of these leaders to reflect your wisdom, wisdom needed for what is discussed and voted on by this body. May your creative power also surround these fellow citizens as they ponder deep questions, look for solutions to problems, and work together for what is best for Wyoming and your kingdom on earth. Fill them with the energy they need to be sustained in their labors today. In your name, amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
With that order of business of Journal Committee report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 17, 2014 had been read and recommends that it be approved, signed by Representative Winters and Filer.
Representative Hunt.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Certainly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Up to your right in the balcony, we have Mrs. Kira Sweet of Newcastle High School and her government class, and guys, what you have just witnessed is a ritual known as the passing of the peace. So anyway, let's give them all a big welcome.
Welcome to the house. The doctor of the day today is Dr. Welcome to the house. The doctor of the day today is Dr. Tom Radosevich, MD, from Casper, Wyoming. The nurse of the day is Victoria Pike from the Board of Nursing. Welcome to the house. Representative Petrov.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Certainly.
Colleagues, I would like you to join me in congratulating our Keith Gingrey, who was honored this morning by the Wyoming Youth Services Association as their Legislator of the Year for all the great work he's done on juvenile justice and other issues. Please congratulate Keith.
Congratulations, Chairman Gingrey. Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I just wanted to remind you about our governor's prayer breakfast, which will be next Wednesday, February 26th, from 7 a.m. to 8:30. They are still taking contributions, $25, and they would love to see you there. Thank you.
Any other privileges of the floor? Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Another privilege of the floor, please.
Certainly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also here, I apologize for missing her the first time around. We have Mrs. Jane Rhodes up in the other balcony. She's down here from the Weston County Children's Services Center. So, well.
Welcome to the House. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor?
Certainly.
Mr. Speaker, it's not very often somebody from Laramie gets over here to visit us, so I'm happy to introduce this morning up in the gallery junior leaders from Laramie High School and their chaperones, Larry Strumpf and Julie Wickett. Would you stand up, please?
Welcome to the House. Okay. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Members of the House, joining us this morning is University of Wyoming's new head coach, Craig Bohl. Coach Bohl was hired as the 32nd head coach at Wyoming on December 8th. Prior to coming to Laramie, Bohl was a head coach at North Dakota State University in Fargo. That's colder than it is here. During his time there, he won three consecutive football championships, subdivision national championships, and went 101-32 during his tenure with the Bison. Please help me in welcoming Coach Craig Bohl.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Certainly, Coach.
Well, it's certainly great to be here and somewhat comfortable. I almost feel like I'm in a pep rally with all the cheering going on here. You know, for me, being from the state of Nebraska and spending time in the state of North Dakota, being somewhat of a flatlander, felt like it was important to get to know our state. So over this weekend, I hopped up in my pickup and went up to Buffalo and spent some time with Joe Tiller. It was a great 3 or 4 hours, and then I made my way. I spent the night in Sheridan there, went across the mountains, went through Worland, went down a road by Kirby. I saw the Wyoming Whiskey Distillery. It was Sunday, so I didn't stop in there. Made my way through Riverton and Rollins, and then back to Laramie. Why I'm saying that is I came up with a couple facts. First of all, if you don't like the weather in Wyoming, don't worry about it, because within an hour it's going to change. The second one is, if the wind would quit blowing, I think everybody in the state would fall down. I think you guys are getting used to standing up with that. And then two, the last one, the third one is that's a lot of driving. And so I look around the body of this room and some of the people that have traveled this great distance. I don't know how it worked. Maybe you need to talk to the governor about getting a raise, but that's a great effort. But it's a unique time for me personally. I recognize this body did not hire me. There's a bunch of football players at the University of Wyoming that did not choose our staff or choose me. Facts of the matter is, when this opportunity came about, I chose it. Our staff chose it because there's greatness. There's greatness in this state, and there's potential greatness in this football program. A couple things that I do know. A football team, when you comprise it, is going to reflect the character and the nature of the state. And without question, the fit for me aligns with this state. This is a state that's got a tremendous amount of resources, physical resources, but the number one thing is the people in our state. The resolve, the focus, and the determination is unique. And that football team that you're going to see this fall will reflect that. You're going to see a galvanized football team. The other thing that's unique that I have noticed quickly is how much this state supports education. For me, I've traveled all across this country, worked in private schools like Duke, to large land-grant institutions like the University of Wisconsin and Nebraska. And the presence on our campus is really remarkable. And the resources that have been put forward are going to serve our state well. Not only the physical resources with the buildings, but also all the other things like the Hathaway scholarships and the support that this state has gone to devote to education is really super. And that's going to serve us well in the future. I also know that the nature of a football team is important for our state to really rally around and have a sense of pride. Competitive excellence is important. It's important for me also to have young men that are going to matriculate through this institution, graduate with a meaningful degree, get married, become fathers, and really contribute to our state and around the country. And that will happen. You're also going to see a football team that is unified. You're going to see a football team that's going to put their hand in the dirt and come off on the right snap count and be disciplined and focused and go north and south. And I also know what's unique is we have one school in this state. One school. And it is amazing how much can get done when nobody cares who gets the credit. Not only with this football program, the athletic program, but our great institution. Something to take great pride in. I see Coach Harshman over here. One thing I know about him in the short time, he'll tell you this. You don't win a championship by being a riverboat gambler. I've been taking all kinds of crazy chances, not having a plan. You have a plan and you work the plan. But you also don't win a championship by punting every time on fourth down. Every once in a while, you got to reach out there and go for it on fourth down. And that means leveraging our strengths and making a splash around the country in search of excellence. So I'm in hopes that, you know what, we're going to cowboy up, let's get some things done, and go Pokes.
Coach Bull, thank you for traveling to Laramie this morning and joining us in the House, and we wish you the best of luck. Now, members of the House, I want you to hold your applause for a minute because I got a couple of things I want to say about this guy. Jimmy, stand up, would you please? Up in the gallery is former Representative Jim Slater, and I just want to tell you a couple of things about him. He served in the House from 2001 to 2008. He's one of the original, if you can believe that, the original directors of the Cowboy Joe Club when it was first started. And perhaps his most crowning achievement was that he ran over the top of me and all the county clerks in the state and several other people in this House and got the special university license plate, which has resulted in a great scholarship fund for the Alumni Association. So please help me welcome former Representative Jim Slater.
Welcome back to the House, Representative Slater. We are at that order of business of re-referral of bills. Not yet? Okay. We're at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 175, Transfer on Death Deed, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Connolly, Gingery, Halverson, Croker, Miller, Walters, and Watt, excused Representative Crone, signed by Representative Gingery, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred House Bill 99, Workers' Compensation for Special Education Teachers, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Barlow, Coleman, Filer, Green, Harvey, and Larson. Those who voted no, Representatives Kasperic, Throne, and Wilson. Signed by Representative Green, Vice Chairman.
Now we're at that order of business of re-referral of bills.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I had to have the bill so I could re-refer it. I'd like to re-refer House Bill 113 to your Committee Number 4, Education.
Without objection, it is so ordered. Brothers and sisters, I met with the LSO today. You're probably up to 80 budget amendments on second reading at this point. Plan to have a long and busy day tomorrow. We have today to go through half of the budget. We have, I don't know what are 35 bills on general file now that we have to at least get through. Like I said yesterday, that sound you hear in the distance is bills dying, an untimely death as they fall off the time cliff. So let's be judicious, let's debate fully, but let's try and get as much business done for the people of the state of Wyoming, get that done in the time that we have. That being said, we're at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list consisting of House Bill 8, House Bill 18, House Bill 25, House Bill 70, and House Bill 83.
The reading clerk will read the bills.
House Bill Number 8, an act relating to district courts, be enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill Number 18, from Corporations Committee, an act relating to coroners, be enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill Number 25, from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to embalmers, funeral directors, undertakers, and crematories, be enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 70, from the judiciary, an act relating to the Wyoming retirement system, be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake. Blake. Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone excused. Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Mader.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff. Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Semlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne excused. Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to House Bill 8, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to House Bill 18, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to House Bill 25, are there any changes? Green, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 2 no, 2 excused. As to House Bill 70, are there any changes? Gay, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Pieperinen, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. Hunt, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Reeder, aye to no. Yagi, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Walters, aye to no. Hutchings, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Watt, aye to no. Mr. Speaker, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 43 aye, 15 no, 2 excused. As to House Bill 83, are there any changes? Laux, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Walters, aye to no. Burkhart, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Reeder, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Hunt, aye to no. Hutchings, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 49 aye, 9 no, 2 excused.
Having received the House Bills 8, 18, 25, 70, and 83, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 8, 18, 25, 70, and 83 have passed the House. We're now at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage regular list. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill number 3.
House Bill number 3 is introduced by the Education Committee, an act relating to school finance, be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 3, third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 3. Ladies and gentlemen, it was discovered by staff that through the rules and laws that we have on the way we configure our schools, that we essentially were prohibited in that portion of statute from being able to move alternative schools forward. And so even though we are passing a bill that is going to effectively lift the moratorium on alternative schools, this portion of the statute would continue to have prohibited it. So it's basically a technical amendment. I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Is there any discussion? Hearing none, and sensing you're ready to vote, we're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 3. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill number 3 has passed the House. House Bill number 3, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel. Filer. Freeman.
Aye.
Gay. Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman. Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
Mader.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton. Petrov, Piperinen, Reeder, Semlick, Summers, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, excused, Walters, Watt, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 49 aye, 10 no, 1 excused.
House Bill number 3, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 3 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 32.
House Bill 32, as presented by the Travel Committee, an act relating to snowmobiles, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
There are a couple amendments. Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 32. What this amendment does, the purpose of the snowmobile registration fees is to pay for the trails and things that are used. And at the end, there are some exceptions for people who don't have to buy the permit. And all I'm doing is inserting one more exception there that says snowmobiles used exclusively on private land. If people are never riding on any of the trails, I don't believe that they should have to pay for the grooming of the trails. Where you really see this come in, sometimes, I know in our community, there's some cabins up on the mountain. Some of the people up there cannot access their cabin in the winter, so they use a snowmobile just to get from the road across their property to the cabin and back and forth and things like that. And I don't think those people, if all they're using their snowmobile for is on private land, should have to help subsidize the trails. This is the same way we do it with the ATV permits. Right now, if you're riding an ATV exclusively on private land, you don't need a permit there. I think it should be consistent. I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Representative Larson, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question. If they're using it on private land, why would they buy a permit in the first place? Would they still be required to? Thank you.
Anyone else for your first time? Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We had an amendment in this bill originally to where the people that were just not using the trails didn't have to pay. Then it became a enforcement nightmare, and we took the amendment back out. If you're using private land and you're not getting out on public lands or in the public, you're pretty well safe. I think adding this will just kind of muddy the waters, and I think people using it on their own land are pretty safe as it is.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, this would clarify that they do not have to buy a permit if they're using their snowmobile on private land to clarify the first question. And I guess I don't understand the enforcement issue, because you're saying if they're on private land, they're safe right now. Well, the enforcement issue is going to be the same if they're on private or public land. I mean, the enforcement issue is if you catch somebody riding without a permit, then they pay the fine. So I don't understand how the enforcement issue is suddenly different if they only use it on private land or public land. If they're on public land, it's the same. You catch them not using it, then they pay the fine.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 32. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no.
No.
Chair is unsure. All in favor, please rise. All in favor, please stand. Opposed. Well, we've got one off the floor. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 32 passes the House. Well, wait. All those opposed, please rise. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 32 squeaks by. We're now on third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill number, or third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 32. Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 32 and ask for your favorable consideration. Friends, what this does is have us reconsider the second reading amendment that we passed yesterday. Not surprisingly, I received a long email after we passed this amendment yesterday imploring us to rethink. Over the summer, and I assume many of you did too as well, received many emails from snowmobilers around the state, and in particular in southeast Wyoming, who were in support of an interim committee study and a bill that raised the fees for snowmobilers. What we did yesterday is we reduced that raise, and what we have is a user organization coming back to us and saying, no, this is what we want. This is a user fee. We appreciate and want what those fees are used for, and we need some steady income. That what we did yesterday is decrease that fee from $40 to $35 and keep it there. And what I'm hearing is that that money is used for planning, for grooming for the future, and that the users want it. Yes, the fee is higher than neighboring states, but because the quality of our trails is higher than other states. This is a high-end recreational endeavor. All right, let's face it, it is. You have to own a snow machine, you do some traveling, you buy X, Y, and Z. $40 for the use of good trails is absolutely worth it. $35 for the use of trails isn't worth it. So therefore, I would encourage us to go back to the original bill and keep the fee at what the users are willing to pay.
Anyone for their first time? Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, automatic increases codified into law are never a good idea. Let's see how the trails do on this increase. If it's spectacularly successful, I'm sure we'll have no problem raising them again in 2 years. But I am against any automatic increase.
Representative Hutchings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to remind the body that while we were listening to testimony in the committee, what we did was raise the fee from $25 to $35. That was a $10 increase that everybody approved. Then, after 2 years, the fee would go up to $40, an additional $5. So it was actually going to be a $15 increase. So I'm on and against this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, or Mr. Speaker. In the interim committee, we better tell the whole story. We had quite a debate of whether we even wanted to raise this, the $10. And there was a faction that said, let the users, the ones that use the groomed trails, pay the $10, and those that do not don't have to buy it. And so that's the way it was going in the committee. And then we had a lot of testimony over a couple meetings, and law enforcement came in and said, boy, this is going to be tough to figure out if you're on groomed trails or you're not, or in southwest Wyoming, not a lot of groomed trails. So we just don't use them, but there is one. And the neighboring snowmobile organizations got hold of us, and I finally relented to the $10 and said, well, we'll go to $10. And the next thing we knew, it was $10 plus $5. And in the committee, I made put an amendment on there, said, let's go with what everybody said, the $10. That's what the debate was over. And then all of a sudden, the $5 in 2 more years, that was just stuck on there. So I made an amendment to get rid of the $5, and that didn't go, so I voted no on the whole bill. I thought they came in with 10, let's stick with what you said, and as soon as you give a little bit, then they wanted a little bit more. So I'm willing to go with the $10, but I just feel it's a little unfair to say, okay, we'll take 10, and now we want another 5 in 2 years. So I'm definitely against this amendment. Let's go back to what they came in with. This is what they wanted, all the snowmobile organizations. Let's stick with the original proposal. Thank you.
Representative Piperinen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for the bill against the amendment. I know many users who do not support this bill. This bill digs into the pockets of the taxpayer, and this amendment only digs deeper.
Representative Davison, or Chairman Davison, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just rise in support of the bill and against the amendment. I think that if we need $5 added, then let's come back for it. Let's just take care of what we do right now. And I think that we'll be quite happy. If not, then you know they can always come back. Thank you.
Is there anyone else from the southwest part of the state that would like to speak on this? Representative Greer.
Mr. Speaker, no, but someone from God's country does.
Whoa.
I just want to remind the body that we passed a fuel tax last year, and a portion of that fuel tax gets a portion over there. So we've already put on a user fee. Just keep that in the back of our mind. Unfortunately, I don't have those numbers. Just wish to remind you of that. $400,000 will be in tolls. So just remember that.
Representative Coleman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am in opposition of this amendment, and I would actually urge the body to resist adopting this amendment. There were a lot of different reasons last year. I'm not sure how many of you understand that this issue came up during the interim, the previous session, and then the bill actually died in committee, and there were a lot of reasons why I opposed it at that time. I came back this year and decided I would be in favor of a small increase, but not the large increase, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time, but I actually prepared quite a bit last year to defeat this bill and wasn't prepared to do that this year, not thinking it was going to have the momentum to actually go through. But I can give you a lot of reasons. The additional $5 increase means this is a 60% increase in the user fee, which to me seems a little bit extreme. The $10 increase is a 40% increase, and I understood that in support of the $10 increase, there was a gap between the last time that we established these user fees and the cost of doing business. So I felt we should support giving them something. The reasons I'm opposed to the $5 increase, there's a lot of reasons, but especially I understand that there are user groups that are out there and saying they want this increase. The problem that I have with the user groups coming in and saying that they want the additional $5 is the user groups themselves actually have organized activities, specifically on the trails. When you take a look at the, I think the number is $145 million that the snowmobiling industry actually contributes to our economy, those are not individuals who are interested in our trails. Those are individuals, and the same argument can be made for the high-end users. Those individuals that are spending a ton of money on snowmobiling and buying the expensive equipment use the trails only as a means to get to where they actually want to go, which is not trails. The snowmobile user groups, on the other hand, actually organize activities, and that's what they do. They spend their entire day riding the trail systems. There was a study by the University of Wyoming that showed they surveyed 85,000 people that rode in that particular year. Let's just assume those weren't snowmobile owners. There were 85,000 people that rode, probably 55,000 snowmobiles in the state of Wyoming. Of those 55,000, there's probably half of that are owners. More people own more than one snowmobile. The snowmobile users group represents about 1,000 people in Wyoming compared to 55,000 snowmobiles. So I don't want anybody to be fooled that the user groups are representing every snowmobiler in Wyoming, because that just isn't the case. I also got to tell you that this year in committee, we did hear testimony from the Parks Department that actually said their RTP funds, which are grants monies that they've been using to groom the trails and for this program, actually they felt that they were giving the snowmobile trails an unfair amount of the RTP funds. And should we increase the user fees as proposed, including that $5 increase, that meant that the user groups, the Wyoming Snowmobile Associations and all these user groups, could actually be in line to accept grants from the RTP funding. So I also don't want you to be fooled that the users group do have a financial interest in you raising the fees, because it opens up RTP fundings that they could apply for grants that they could use for different activities. I'm not saying that's wrong, that they shouldn't get RTP funds. I'm just saying there's a financial interest in you raising the fees for all of the users just because you're being pushed by the user groups. I also have – part of the reasons why I was against this bill last year was because how the information was presented. User groups sometimes have grooming contracts. Some of these individuals, depending on different areas of the state, the user groups are the individuals who contract with the Parks Department to actually groom the trails. They're getting paid to do some of this. There were a whole lot of other reasons why I was completely against the proposed fee last year, and why I'm definitely against the amendment this year. There was a long-range plan. I don't know how many of you know this, but there was a long-range plan presented in 2012 that outlined about 19 different strategies that the Parks Department could use to be more efficient in this program. They could actually go in and find more cost savings before they had to raise the user fee. The Parks Department has done none of those things. Of all of the strategies, and they paid good money for this report, but of all of those strategies, they've actually done none of those except ask for more money. So I believe give them something now just to address the issue of, since the last time that we raised the fee until today, the cost of doing business has increased, and I understand that. But I'm saying don't give them any more than that, because they actually have an obligation, and the report was conducted with a lot of public input and staff expertise. They have an obligation to follow through on some of those strategies before they ask for more money. I don't think that it's responsible for this body to say, well, you've identified 19 other ways that you can improve the cost efficiencies of this program, but you're just going to go ahead and ignore all of them. Sure, we'll pass that on to all of the users. I don't think that's fair, and I've got like 20 other reasons, but I'll stop there. Thank you.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I'm on and against this amendment and for this bill. I think the committee obviously had a delicate balance of the reasons why they chose to come the way they did with their original committee, their original committee amendment. And I don't want to lose that balance or that support for this bill. This bill is very important to maintaining good quality trails. In my county in the winter, there's a lot of people come from out of state to use these trail systems. It's a good economic driver for motels and restaurants in the winter, one of the few economic drivers we have in the winter around our area. And maintaining and keeping good trails is important to our county, and I would hope that you would support this bill and resist the amendment.
Representative Burkhart, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for the amendment and for the bill. just bluntly, snowmobiling is a very expensive hobby. Very few people need these anymore for work or anything else. If you consider my rule of parts for snowmobiles, you go buy parts, you take a $100 bill with you every time, and what you don't spend one time, you take it with you the next because you'll need it. Because spark plugs are $7 a piece. A windshield is probably right now about $200. This is an expensive hobby. The users are asking for this fee, and that they're willing to pay it. I met a gentleman from the state due west of us who was snowmobiling here in Wyoming, and I noticed he had four stickers on his machine, four permits. And I said, why do you have four permits? He said, because you take such good care of your trails, I'm willing to pay that much money to ride in Wyoming. Most of the people who complain about the fees, they're riding brand-new, very expensive machines, being pulled by brand-new, very expensive trucks with brand-new, very expensive trailers. $40 is not that much money in this sport. Like I said, spark plugs are $7 a piece. I usually carry two extra sets with me. And that. So on and for the amendment, on and for the bill.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would feel better about the amendment and the bill if the money were evenly distributed. We've got one whole mountain range that receives very little attention, and it serves six communities.
Anybody, Representative Freeman?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not going to tell you how to vote on the amendment, but I think what you have to look in the background is that there is a $1 million deficiency right now for the trails. The gas tax brought in about $400,000 of that. About $350,000 will be added with this increase on the sticker. The stickers. The other thing that you should probably realize has been talking about is the government fund that is currently backfilling the need or the shortfall. That's a federal program. It's always on the cutting block, and it may disappear. The other thing is that federal grant can also go for other motorized and non-motorized recreation, and it's important for us to build security for snow machines. Like I said, I won't tell you how to vote on the amendment, but don't lose sight of what we're doing with the bill. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? First time. Second time. Second time going once. Second time going twice. Second time back to the sponsor, Representative Connolly.
Thank you, folks, for a vigorous debate. just to make clear, this amendment brings us back to the original bill. Yesterday was passed a second reading amendment that changed the original bill. This amendment brings us back to the original bill that was vetted by their interim committee. There was mention of the use of RTP funds, Recreational Trails Program funds, and as just previously mentioned, you can't believe this is going to come out of my mouth, but that's federal money, and that's federal money that honestly we can't count on, that money has been on the chopping block, and the trails program can't count on it to maintain the grooming that is going on right now. And so, again, this is a bill that has a fee in it that was lobbied for by the users. It raises from $35 to $40 fees over the course of several years. And I would encourage you to vote aye on the amendment and then aye on the bill.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 32. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Chair is unsure. All in favor, please stand. And wait a minute. Before you stand, ladies and gentlemen, the last time we voted, we had people popping in and out of the door, people running around the room talking. If you'd stand at your desk, it makes it a lot easier for the clerks to count. All in favor, please say aye. Or stand, I mean. All opposed. Third reading, amendment number 2 to House Bill 32 fails. House Bill 32 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson. Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Hutchings, Yagi, Kasparic, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, Mader, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Patton, Paxton, Petroff, Pieperinen, Reeder, Simlick, Summers, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, excused, Walters, Watt, Wilson, Winters, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? Blake, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 48 aye, 11 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 32 having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 32 has passed the House. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have guests with us today from Kelly Welch High School in Casper, which just happens to be in my House district. They're located in the behind you all, in front of me, and I think there were some that spilled over to this side. And it's their 10th grade class, and they do this on an annual basis. It's really nice to have you all back again. Welcome to the House of Representatives. I would only like to comment that this is the A-team from Kelly Welch, and the next A-team will be here in a while.
Welcome to the House. We're now at that order of business of consideration of bills on general file. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. House Bill 38, having been read, or next before consideration is House Bill 38.
House Bill 38 is introduced by Representative Barlow, an act relating to taxidermists be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 38 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Gay,
Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Hutchings, Yagi, Kasparic, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, Mader, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Patton, Paxton, Petroff, Pieperinen, Reeder, Simlick, Summers, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, excused, Walters, Watt, Wilson, Winters, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
House Bill 38, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 38 has passed the House. We are now at that order of business of consideration of the budget bill on general file. Oh, wait, Representative Yagi, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To my left up here, we have one of the plant managers, a human resource manager from one of our large Trona plants in southwest Wyoming. We have Jim Maxfield that came over to with the Wyoming Mining Association. Just glad to have him here and all the good work he does for our trolling industry.
Welcome to the House. Chairman Madden, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce the Speaker of my House, my wife, Cheryl. She's a new grandma as of last Friday. There she is up there.
Welcome to the House, Speaker Madden. Representative Greer.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Certainly.
Above me, I just saw her. That's Mrs. Greer. She come down to watch what we're doing. Please welcome her.
Welcome to the House, Mrs. Greer. Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to give you an update, most of you, I announced yesterday Rezzy was skiing last night at midnight our time. It wasn't midnight there in Russia. But she got ended up 29th out of 90 in the giant slalom. Yeah, so that's pretty good. She will ski again on Friday in the slalom.
Now we are at that order of business of consideration of the budget bill on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself into committee of the whole for consideration of the second half of the budget.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Representative Gay. Committee of the Whole will please come to order. We're continuing with consideration of the budget bill, House Bill number 1. Chairman Harshman, what is your pleasure?
Well, morning members. Well, many of these are boards and commissions, and I'll remind you that we'll do that towards the end of the presentation. So I think we're on Wichy right now, Section 69, and Representative Moniz is up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 69, UW-Owichi, page 28 on your cheat sheet and page 58 on your budget bill. Mr. Chairman, the Western Interstate Commission for Higher Education, WICHE, allows Wyoming and other participating Western states an opportunity to provide a high-quality, cost-effective education to their students without replicating programs in every state. Mr. Chairman, the JC adopted the governor's rec, WICHE, $5,190,930. And with that, Mr. Chairman, that is WICHE. I stand for any questions.
Question.
There's no questions. I move to close section 609.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the WICHE program, which I actually
partook in and appreciate very much. What I want to know is what standards we have in place that ensures folks, citizens of Wyoming who take part in that actually return to Wyoming and provide service. If that's across the board, I know that's a policy decision made within the WICHE office, but I want to know if you have any information on that. Thank you.
Representative Moniz.
Starting in 2017, graduates must return to Wyoming to practice for 3 years or pay back the state funding support. Only exception is veterinary medicine.
Is there any further discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 69 has carried committee of the whole. Moving on to section 72, retirement. Sorry, a little rusty here. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Mr. Chairman, I would move Agency 70, Enhanced Oil Recovery Commission, and ask for your favorable consideration. This, again, there's no position shown, but this budget actually funds 19 staff that are housed over at the university and that participate in the activities of the EOR Commission. We approved the governor's recommendations. They had actually asked for some exception requests on compensation, which the governor took out, and we agreed with the governor's recommendation on that. So are there any questions? If there's no questions, I would move to close Agency 70.
Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Moving on to Section 72. Representative Simpson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move Agency 72, Retirement System, and ask for your favorable consideration. Again, the retirement system, again, these are not general funds. These are they pay for their expenses out of the contributions made to the retirement system. We did make one adjustment, which actually changed the range of potential salaries for the chief investment officers, the senior investment analysts, and the senior investment officers. These are salaries that are set by the retirement board, but we set limitations on those salaries within the budget, and we up those somewhat this time in order to account for market pressures on those positions. So if there's no questions, I would go ahead and move to close Agency 72.
Representative Nicholas. No. Any further discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion carries. We're going to skip number 75, jump down to number 77. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move to open Section 77, Enterprise Technology Services. This is our new computer agency. JC took two actions. Number one, if you'll see footnote number one, we limited users of the unified network that we are creating to the legislature, executive branch, judicial branches, and UW and community colleges, public schools, and public libraries. The point of this was to limit access to entities that are not going to be competitive with the private sector. And similarly, footnote number two, requiring the state purchase communication services for purposes of the unified network from commercial carriers just to protect our once again, private enterprises. Other than that, it's right now the budget is basically a zero-based budget, and we're learning it, learning as it grows. And there's a lot we still have to understand. And for folks who aren't computer savvy, it's a pretty big agency to get your hands around. But with that, I would if there are no questions, I'd move to close Section 77.
Is there any further discussion of the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Section 77, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 77 has cleared Committee of the Whole. Section 78, Representative Burkhart. Representative Burkhart.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't think we have a Section 78. Be 80.
Pardon my indulgence for a moment, please. We're going to jump down to Section 80. Representative Esquivel, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 80, Department of Corrections, to the budget bill. JAC had a corrected budget code there for that first one, $5,212 to special revenue. And number two, denied $176,926 of general fund money for one principal licensed counselor. The next two, these two programs, three and four, the adult community corrections funding and the split sentencing program, we funded that for just 1 year. We want the agency to come back with an exception request and justification for those two programs. So that's why we funded those just for 1 year. And then added that footnote number three, that's number five on your list. And that's another report that's going to come back to JAC as well as the Joint Judiciary Committee for them to give us a report back on post-prison recidivism rates, district levels of incarceration, the split sentencing, and adult community correction placements. We also wanted to find out what their success rate is of probation placements of not less than 50% and their success rate of post-prison placements of not less than 63% for adult community correction placements. So another good report coming to those two committees. Number six was they wanted two generators. We funded one. Number seven, added that fourth footnote. This is a new program they started up there at the Mother and Child Program at the Women's Center in Lusk. So we want to know how successful that is. Denied those two positions at that Women's Center in the programming unit and directed the department to reclassify those two positions. That's a case team leader and a case worker. And then added back one position to correct accidental subtraction. That's the last one, number nine. And any questions?
Further discussion, Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just wanted to hear more of what the thought process was on the ACC funding and the split sentencing. In judiciary, those have been two of our programs that we have been very favorable toward because it reduces our prison population. By reducing ACC funding in Casper and Gillette, it appears that you'd be increasing your prison population, thus increasing your costs in the long run, because you're instead of having the person out of the prison, you're going to be keeping them in the prison. Same thing with the split sentencing. Instead of encouraging the use of our jails for lower felonies, those people would end up in the prison. I'm just wondering what the thinking was as to it appears that JAC is favoring more prison usage rather than the alternative programs that we've worked so hard to create.
Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When we had the agency in front of us, of course, probably the Judiciary Committee has heard more about this than we have. We were a little more concerned about these new programs. Not that we didn't believe in them, as certainly we do. I think we just wanted to maybe take baby steps on it as far as funding it, and that's why we just did it for 1 year and having the Department of Corrections come back with us in the exception request for the justification of the two programs.
Is there any further discussion on the bill? Is there any further discussion on the bill? Question being called. We're on Section 80 of the bill. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section number 80 has passed Committee of the Whole. We're moving now to Section 81, Board of Parole. Representative Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 81, Border Parole, and ask for the floor's acceptance. We really didn't do anything with this. It's the Gev's Rex. It's no changes, no employees, and if there are any questions, I move to close.
Is there any discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Section 81, please signify by aye. Those opposed, please say no. Section 81 has passed Committee of the Whole. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move Section 85, Wyoming Business Council. Some changes here, members, and we'll just kind of go through the working on the cheat sheet on page 32 of your cheat sheet, and it's page 64 of your bill. The first one is just a policy decision that we, out of the $26 million and the business council's administrative kind of budget, we designated that $100,000 from those funds would be spent to convene stakeholders on the purpose of pursuing interstate shipment of state inspected meat. And there's some issues that's a little bit that program is not really unified. Folks in different parts of the states have different ideas. We want to get everybody together and really come up with a plan on that. The Main Street program, we did not make any changes to. The investment-ready communities, which includes a couple programs, the business-ready communities and the community facilities program, is where we made the bulk of our changes. And you can see on number 2 on your cheat sheet, we added footnote number 2, specifying that half of the proceeds from sale of any property purchase with grant funds be returned to the business-ready community programs. We wanted to come back to this fund and be available for other grants and loans in the future. Number 3, we added footnote number 3, making $10 million general fund for business-ready community grants for one-time funding effective immediately. And then number 4, we reduced Gov's letter number 4 by $5 million, leaving $10 million for the recruitment of large business projects, and added footnote number 4 specifying those conditions. And then finally, the JAC moved the $4.1 million that is in the community facilities program to the business-ready community program and added a footnote authorizing the use of funds for large projects. So, and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, currently then that can be used as the $10.5 million that will stay in the program that was there for data centers will roll over and be used for large projects, $10 million from the governor's letter that we granted, and then $4.1 million, which is in the community facilities program, we said could also be used for large projects. I'd stand for any questions.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have two questions. One question is referencing footnote 1 on whether there's a policy or whether we've done anything to trigger this kind of meat inspection program. And number 2, within that, how did you come up with $100,000 to convene stakeholders? When you convene stakeholders, it sounds to me like a meeting. That'd be a lot of money, I would think, for a meeting. And the other thing is, I'm wondering what the committee would think about with footnote 2. It says half the proceeds from the sale of property purchased. I'm talking now about the half that they wouldn't be returning to the business council, and whether we can restrict that to only being used for new projects and not used for operational expenses like wages and salaries and utilities and travel and things like that. And those are the only two issues I have on this budget. Thank you.
Representative Graham.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Direct this to the Chairman of Appropriations. on the cheat sheet dealing with footnote 5, just curious if you could tell us what testimony was given concerning the need or the necessity of the funds out of the community facilities grant. If the testimony was that that project's winding down and those funds are no longer needed, and if so,
why aren't those funds reverting back to the general fund? So I'd just like a little bit of background to understand what testimony was presented to reach this conclusion, just briefly.
Chairman Harshman.
Okay, the meat inspection program and the $100,000, the language says up to 100. I mean, they might spend 5,000. And it's an idea is to get folks from around the state together to really maybe move our products up the food chain, really, and have a better export. And so really get folks who are in different parts of the state together and see if we can come up with a better idea. That's really the intent. The second question, I think, from the good chairman of revenue is what happens to the other half? Now we're talking about returning half of the proceeds of the sale of any building or anything that we that has the state interest back to the BRC program, so it'll continue to roll and other folks around the community can apply for grants and loans from that. The other half, I think the question was about what happens to the other half. It stays in the local community. Currently, 100% of it stays in the local community, whether it's the local economic development group. Some counties have joint powers boards. Our county does for economic development. And there's a lot of talk going on about, you know, what's a nonprofit, what's a joint power board, and who can control these assets and all those things. So there's work going on all the time. But we felt that it's a substantial state investment and that the state should get at least half of that to come back to the program for others to use. As far as I think there was a question on the community facilities program and the $4.1 million. I'll just tell you, we've been chipping away at that for the last three, 4 years. The sense is that we probably built most of these around the state. And there's some more out there, and there's always requests. But we're chipping away at it, and I think this was a big chip where we've allowed this to also be used for large projects, and so they can dip into that 4.1.
Vice Chairman Yegi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question. I think a lot of us are thinking about the Wyoming Business Council, and I attended a SLIB board not too long ago meeting, and the constitutionality of the Wyoming Business Council was brought up, and I think there's some interesting things to be dug through on that. I think people are looking at that. I think appropriations is looking. Another question I have in there, when we're giving loans through the business council, and it has to do with what the good chair just said on number two, the amount of money that we're giving, if we give an entity that's a legal entity to give it, Joint Power City County, we give them $1 million for economic development, and I would hope the return on that $1 million, getting a business established, would be able to come back to that entity that we gave the money for, so they would just kind of turn over the money. And I'm afraid a lot of the money is given to one of the organizations, and it is kind of not really tracked, so they can use it for administrative powers more than having it in a fund where they could just roll it over and use it within their county, city, or joint powers, whatever, to incentivize and do more with it. So the loan part, if you look at the percentage of the loans that are most of these entities are handing big amounts of money out, we're talking 0.5% over 20 years for $10 million. That's kind of a grand in my estimation. I would really like, well, my whole philosophy is have no unfair competition created with these grants, loans, and get a fair market value for the money that we're handing out. Now, understanding you got to start out low to get the business established, but then I think it ought to ramp up. If you're 0.5%, maybe it's going to go to 1, to 2, to 3, and that money should be coming back into that entity that we gave the money to, so they would have a fund to help out. So we just don't keep doing this. We have had as high as $165, $170 million for the business council, And they ramped up their employees when we had a lot of money given to them. And now that we're down half the money that we used to give them, are the same number of employees there? And I just, the pay for the Wyoming Business Council employees is usually higher, so they're able to attract other state workers to come to Business Council. I just think there's some things that we really ought to be looking at, and I appreciate the chairman saying they are looking at these things and trying to get a handle on those, and I just like it quicker than later, of course, but those are some of the concerns of that I have about the Business Council. If you could answer some of those, thank you.
Representative Grimm.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, just want a quick follow-up. I don't want to throw the good coach off, but the Chairman Appropriations, going back to the Community Facilities Funds, those have been moved. I understand that. Then are they restricted to large projects? That was what I wanted to lock down.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To answer your questions, no, really have been broadened, the opportunity for use. Could still be used for community facilities, but can also be used for large projects.
Then one quick follow-up on that, if I may save some
Representative
time.
Representative Grimm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can those be used for other projects other than community facility projects and large projects? Has it been broadened past that?
Chairman Harshman.
Really, those are in that unit on business-ready communities, that's really the types of projects, you know, that we're going to do around the state, infrastructure-type projects. So it would be one or the other, I guess, is to say, to answer your question. Large projects, infrastructure-type projects, business-ready community-type projects to get ready, or community facilities, that $4.1 million. What other projects do you have in mind, I guess? Will it be used for advertising? No. Will it be used for... You know what I mean? So that's really it. That's their mandate.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Regarding the note number two, I'm wondering if we can do what we did with conservation easements last year, making the state a party to any conservation easement. Is it possible to make the state a party to any project or property purchased with grant funds?
Representative Hutchings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is on notes 3 and 4 and the governor's letter number 4. According to what we've been told, the governor asked for $15 million from the general fund, but we only gave him 10. But if we look at note 3, we're giving them $10 million one-time funding. So if you really look at this, we've given the governor or this organization $20 million. Is that correct?
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The first question was really, can the state be a part of this? And I think we say that because we, you know, Amendment 4, really, we can only appropriate funds for public purposes and really support of the poor. And so these funds are worked out where they go to a county, a city, a joint powers board. A 501c3 can't receive these and own that, those kind of things. So our stake in it is really through our municipalities. Okay? So that's part of that. I guess they're an instrument of the state. Can't quite, what was the other question? I think it was about the total amount of money. And the total amount of money then right now, if you count the $4.1 million that's in community facilities available for large projects, right now in this budget is $24.6 million. Okay? Thank you.
Representative Hutchings.
I don't really think my question was answered, but I just want to bring up what's in our state constitution, Article 3, Section 36. Prohibited appropriations. No appropriation shall be made for charitable, industrial, educational, or benevolent purposes to any person, corporation, or community not under the absolute control of the state, nor to any denomination or sectarian institution or association.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I addressed that in my last time at the mic, and that's why counties are instrumentalities of the state. They are under our control, and joint powers boards as well. So that's to answer that, I believe. So, yeah, we're not going to we can't appropriate to a 501c3 or another charity or those kind of things.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a clarification, if I could, on the footnote 2 relating to the revision of the funds upon the sale of the property, what was happening to those revisions prior to the footnote? What's happening currently to it?
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Those funds currently would just stay in the local community and then invest in more projects. And I think some of the concern then in the committee was the rich keep getting richer. And local development funds go to locals, maybe in this part of the state, and they just stay here and keep churning. And folks in other parts of the state, if you just don't have that opportunity. And so that was really our intent then, to free some of this up, get it back into the system, let other folks apply for it.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Mr. Chairman, just to follow up on that a little bit, the other concern and some of the other testimony we had is that in some areas of the state, these funds basically go in to serve as the operational funds of the local economic development agency. And you see, you know, where maybe businesses were paying dues to those agencies. It was a locally funded economic development agents effort that these funds kind of come in and then they go ahead and stop charging those fees to the local businesses, and so it becomes really almost a state-funded local economic development agency. So that was one of the other concerns we had.
Representative Patton.
Thank you. Just to follow up on this, I have had some comments that I won't share them all with you relative to the concern of the municipalities in particular and in some cases in the counties about that reversion. So you may see further discussion on this on second reading. One other item that I would like to say is that I personally am supportive of the Wyoming Business Council, and I need to say that publicly because there's some people on the Business Council that they need to hear that I really do support it. I think they have some doubts. One of the things that I think that this body needs to be aware of is that when the Business Council comes forward with a loan, it then comes out of and becomes a part of the investment portfolio that the treasurer is responsible for collecting. That takes the function of the treasurer's office and places it in the same position as a bank with a loaning part of it in its institution and the legal side that is going to make sure that the money is returned. And I think that maybe what would be helpful to both the investment side of our $17.5 billion is invested for the purposes of preservation of capital and a return. And that doesn't include, when you're dealing with investments, that doesn't include trying to recollect money that has got there on supposedly a loan, which turns out to be a request for a grant. And so my suggestion here is to perhaps look at what we're doing with these funds in the Business Council and might just appropriate a pool of money that they can use and let them be the collectors. I mean, they're the ones that are making the arrangement and whatnot. Provide them with the means and a responsibility to help collect it or to be the responsible parties of collection. I know that's not going to affect you in the budget, but ultimately it might be a consideration for the body to be concerned with. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion on Section 85? Any further discussion on Section 85? Question having been called, all those in favor of Section 85, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no.
No.
The chair is in doubt. Would everybody in favor of 85 please stand?
Section 85 has passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I told you earlier that we'd have the second A team from Kelly Walsh here, but I wanted the teacher for this class to stand up first. She's had a practice of bringing students down here for a number of years, and her name is Sally O'Brien. So, Sally, if you'd stand up, I think you need a special hand of... And now let's have that A team stand up and give them a hand. Thank you all for being here.
The next item up for our consideration, House Bill Number 1, Section 101. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move to open Section 101, the Wyoming Supreme Court budget. If you go to page 33 of the cheat sheet, you'll see that we did four different actions on this over their regular approved budget submitted to us. First of all, we reduced $200,000 of special reserve funds from the legal aid grant. That entity has a budget of $2.7 million. They had an exception request for $200,000, and we denied that exception request but approved their $2.7 million budget. Those funds come from assessments on $10 assessments to all litigation stuff in district courts. Next, the JAC reduced by $1.5 million general funds for e-citation equipment and authorized the carryover of $1.5 million appropriated in 13-14. In other words, they didn't expend the monies, and so instead of appropriating new monies, we just moved the money over and held it. So no real change there. Number three, we added footnote number one requiring private matching funds of $280,000 for the purpose of developing a Supreme Court Learning Center. The Wyoming Supreme Court at the building down the street would like to do some remodeling and make it more user-friendly and public-friendly. And so our recommendation to this body is that we use matching funds to do that. For $280,000. Finally, we denied the Supreme Court's letter request number one of $82,000 of general funds for real-time court reporting salaries. And if there are no questions, I would move to close Section 101.
Is there any further discussion on Section 101? Any further discussion, Section 101? Question having been called, all those in favor of Section 101, the House Bill Number 1, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Section 101 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Our next section for consideration of House Bill 1 is Section 102. Representative Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, once again, I would move the opening of Section 102, Board of Law Examiners. This is just a group that examines and, a lawyer's practice stuff. It's the general budget, no changes, no increases, no decreases, the same budget as we had before, so I'd move to close Law Examiners, Section 102, if there are no questions.
Is there any further discussion, Section 102? Any further discussion? Question having been called, all those in favor of Section 102, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 102 has passed Committee of the Whole. Our next bill for our next consideration, rather, section for consideration, is Section 103. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Section 103 is the, let me find it here, 1 second. My documents are upside down half the time. These are the Commission on Judicial Conduct and Ethics. This is a budget of $345,000 for a commission that reviews and evaluates our the folks in our judiciary, standard budget, same as last year. And I'd, if there are no questions, I'd move to close Section 103.
Is there any further question being called? All those in favor of Section 103, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 103 has passed Committee of the House. House Bill Number 1, Section 151 is next up. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you. And, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move sections 120 through 148, excluding agency 132. These are all of the district court, the districts, District 1A all the way through District Court 9C. These are the individual budgets for each district court in the state. They're almost identical if you go down at the, each and every district court. So, you know, we monitor the district court's budgets. They're about 92% salary, and then the rest are either travel or library or fees like that. And so they're all pretty straightforward and pretty simple. So if you have any questions about the district courts, I'd be happy to answer them. But if there are no questions, I would move 120 through 141, but not agency 132, which I'll do separately.
I crave your indulgence. Earlier I misspoke and said section 151. We are on section 120 and 121. Any further discussion? Any further? Representative Nicholas, may I have confirmation of the section numbers, please?
Sure. I would move to close 120 through 141, excluding 132.
Any further discussion of the above sections? Any further discussion of the above section? Question being called. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The aforementioned sections have passed the committee of the whole. Our next section for consideration is 151. Section 151.
Section 132. Please. That's the one we excluded from on the district courts. And that's Judicial District 9A. So I'd move to open 132, section 132, please.
The next section for our consideration is section 132, Representative Nicholas.
And members of the House, the reason that this was pulled out was just of one minor change that was different than the rest of them. If you go to page 38 of the cheat sheet, go down to the middle of the page, the JC added one part-time position and reduced $54,000 general fund for one half of the requested fund, and added a footnote number one requesting the county match the other half. What this is, they've got an administrator up in Fremont County that has been funded in the past by the county, and we were matching part of that. The county pulled their funding, and we said, well, let's put this in a budget footnote. If the county wants to come back and refund half the program, then we'll pay for the other half. So it's just a mechanism by which if the county wants to have half the position, to make it a whole position, we said we'd fund part of it, which I think that position's been there for about 30 years by now. So if there are other questions, I'd move section 132.
Is there any further discussion on section 132? Any further discussion, section 132? Question being called. We're voting on section 132. Those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Section 132 has passed committee of the whole. We're back on House Bill 1, section 133. Representative Nicholas. 142. I'm sorry. We're jumping around a bit numerically. We're on section 142. Representative Nicholas.
Chairman, I would move section 142, Judicial District 4B.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you. I'm not sure why I didn't add this into the last one. It probably should have been. So if there are any questions, I'd move to close 142.
Is there any further discussion? Question having been called, we're voting on section 142. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 142 has passed the committee of the whole. Our next section for consideration is 151. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move to open section 151. I ask for your favorable consideration. This is the funding for the district attorney and judicial district number one, that's here in Laramie County. The only change that we did through the JAC was to reduce $86,000 general fund and change one part-time position to a full-time as a result of the agency reorganization. So another significant changes. And if there are any questions, I'd move to close Section 151.
Representative Watt? Is there any further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, we're voting on Section 142. All in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no.
That's Section 151.
I'm sorry. Once again, we've been bitten by the jump around bug. We're voting on Section 151. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 151 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next section for our consideration is Section 157. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've moved to open Section 157. This is the district attorney for the judicial district, the 7th Judicial District. This is the Natrona County. The same process as 151. It's just their district attorney that Cheyenne and Casper has, and if there are any questions, I'd move to close.
Is there any further discussion on Section 157? Question having been called, those in favor of Section 157, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 157 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next section up for our consideration is Section 160. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you. These are pretty tough ones to run by you guys, so I appreciate the how fluid these are. I'd move Section 160. This is the for the counties and prosecuting attorneys for the remainder of the counties and in the state. It's their general budget. There was one change by the JAC, reducing it by $305,000 to align the budget to the actual anticipated expenditures of the counties. And so if there are any questions, I would move to close Section 160.
Is there any further discussion on Section 160? Any further discussion on Section 160? Question having been called. Those in favor of 160, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 160 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next section for our consideration is Section 167. Representative Moniz.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 167, Medical Education, on page 43 of your cheat sheet and page 80 of the budget bill. Mr. Chairman, there are four divisions in UW Medical Education. They are Family Practice Residency Centers, WAMI Medical Education, Dental Contracts, and the Nursing Program. The JAC adopted the Governor's Rex on all divisions. In addition, JAC added $56,019 in special funds to correct the health insurance funding. With that, Mr. Chairman, I stand for any questions. If there are no questions, I'd move to close Section 167.
Is there any further discussion on Section 167? Question having been called for, we're voting on Section 167. All in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, please say no. The ayes have carried the day. Section 167 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next section for our consideration is Section 201. Chairman Harshman. 205, I'm sorry. Chairman Harshman, Section 205.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Page 44 on your cheat sheet, page 81 on your bill, is Section 205, School Finance. This is really the computation and the pass-through with our local districts. Now, you can see the amount. There's really some cleanup and corrective amendments here, and I'll go through these with you. So under School Foundation Program, you can see it was $1.5 billion in the revised governor's rec. You can see the JAC changes where we reduced $56 million to get the $1.485. Those are really a result of a technical correction, okay? I can explain that to you as we go. So number one on the JAC added footnote number one requiring the department to document transfers between and among via the B11 process. We started that program with the previous director. We're going to continue that with the current director. That's going to be, we'd like to keep that standard language in for this agency. Number two, we reduced $52 million per funding model based on January Craig projections, district reimbursement, and enrollment data. The real story there is we had old enrollment data that was incorrect, and the governor's assumptions were used off the October Craig, and so that's just a correction. Number three, we reduced by $3 million to accommodate in the ECA and the retirement calculations, and really when we went from the governor's 2%, and you can think about 2% in the first year, then it'd be 2% in the second year, that's 4. And what we've got in this bill now is 1 and another 1, all right? So this will actually 1 and then 1 that carries over, so it's really 3. It's so cheaper to do it this way, and that's the savings. So it's 3 versus 4% over a two-year period. I hope I explained that right. Okay, and then we reduced retirement funding on employer share. Again, it's just a technical change, number 4, number 5. Also is outlines the external cost adjustment computation. It talks about really the four parts to the ECA. And we heard this, we've always been heard this term 2% or 1%, but there's really four parts to it. I think certified salaries are a little higher than the 1%, classified are a little lower, you've got energy prices that are less, supplies that are more, et cetera. So we use a common term called the 1 year, but that, or 1% or 2%, but it really takes into four factors, and that's on page 81. Number 6 on your cheat sheet, adopted governor's letter number 7, recommendation of $1.2 million school foundation funds, $600,000 new plus $600,000 from agency 206. That's the next agency, and their unit 1226 college job aptitude test. This is really we didn't fund the entire biennium of the ACT suite. As you know, the freshmen take the Explore test, the sophomores take the plan test, and our juniors take the ACT test, and we only had 1 year of funding. You'll see the similar reverse of this amendment on the next unit. And then finally, a footnote that we've carried the last couple budgets. We'd like to continue to carry this at the JC. Added footnote number 3 specifying that 15-16 student assessment and testing funds be transferred from the department to an account in the state auditor's fund, funds which are monitored and approved by expenditure by the governor. So we're trying to treat everybody the same, and I think it's very important to segregate these testing funds to make sure we have an exact amount of what's being used for testing and assessment. It's not being B11'd into other areas of the budget, those kind of things. So we want to treat the new director same as the old director, any future director. Stand for any questions.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for the good chair of appropriations on number 3. I didn't quite understand that. If you could go over that whole issue again. I know that there was a 2 and a 2, and then I know you guys have changed that to a 1 and something similar with the retirement calculations, but could you please go over that whole issue for me? Thank you.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll try to do this again. That's to make this so if we would have followed the governor's proposal and granted a 2% ECA in the first year, and that's all his proposal in 15, well, that 2% would then be in 16, and you can add those 2 and 2 together as 4. It costs this much over the biennium. Well, what we've done now is 1% in the first year. That'll carry over to the 1%, so that's the one we'd grant in 15, and then we're going to grant a 1% in 16. So the total is 3 chunks of money, really. 3 as it rolls out over 2 years as opposed to 2 and 2. It's 1 and 1, which is 3 on that, right? It's really, I know. Hey, let me say it like this. It's 1 and 1, which is 3. That's really how you got to think about it. I know. Think about the poor folks listening at home. Sorry, but that's, you got to understand the first year rolls through to the second year and then gets counted again. So it's 3 versus 4. I hope it's clear as mud. Thank you.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The question I have is, in determining an ECA for 15 and 16, how can you do that today until we look at the more recent experience, which would be a year from now? And, if you can answer that, that'd help. I know these have to be updated every year, not every other year.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, when you're trying to figure out salaries and treat people equitably and fair and what we can do and what we should do, and you'll remember, I think, the Joint Education Committee brought to the JAC in October really an ECA of 2 and 2. That's the way it came to us. And you add that 2 plus this 2, that'd be 6. And so, yeah, I know. Just stay with me on that. And so we were, you know, and then the governor came in and said 2. He reduced that a little bit, which was the, well, let me back up. In October in JC, we said, no, just 1 2-year. And then the governor's proposal ended up to be the same as the JAC's in October, 1 2% ECA in 15. And then through various, but the governor's had no mention of paying retirement for K-12 employees, but he did for state employees. Through our deliberative process in JAC, and it was a couple-day event, we ended up with 1 and 1 plus paying those retirement, employee retirement benefits. So that's, you go through the process, and sometimes you you compromise and you come maybe different than anyone thought. We looked at a lot of options from flat amounts or percentages like we did a year ago. We talked about incentivizing pay through the 457 plan with school teachers, you know, because the state employees get $20 a month to save in that 457 deferred comp plan. Because our COLA plan is, or excuse me, our retirement plan is no longer a COLA plan. I mean, it's just not designed for that. And we'd have to increase contributions a couple, 2 or 3 more percent. So this thing's been all around. It started off as 2 and 2. It came to us. It ended 2. The governor said 2. We ended up with 1 and 1 in retirement. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If the good chairman of appropriations could just tell us what the money difference is between those two, how much less the appropriations committee approaches, and it's probably there on the cheat sheet, but if you could just point us to that, that would be helpful.
Chairman Harshman.
I think I've got this, and it's actually quite close. Let me just get this. It was right at $39 million. It was right at $39 million for a 2% ECA. $39-40 million. And our proposal with a 1 and a 1, we were able to add retirement, and it came out right at about $41 million. So a very similar amount. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Yankee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question, do other organizations, other state employees have a payment plan like the teachers do? If when you start out every year, you sign up, you're going to get this much first year and you're going to get a raise second year until you reach the top of the scale, and then you're maxed out. And so then the raises that we're giving are really 1-2%, whatever. Are any other state agencies, do they have that? And was that raise built into teachers' salaries considered into the 1%, but the retirement makes it about the same amount? So the teachers are getting their steps as they go through until they get to the top, plus they're getting this raise. Is that the way it goes? And are there any agencies like the school teachers?
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you. Thank you for that question. And there are agencies and the state government, the Attorney General's office, the lawyers and the AG's office have regular steps. And also all state employees get a step at 5 years. I think it's every 5 years, 5, 10, and so on to move through. Schools are all over the map. And the thing about what this proposal, what we do, though, when you say, let me just keep this thought for a minute. So the 1% ECA does not necessarily mean that school district employees will get a 1% raise. That's determined by the local board, school board. It's a block grant. The only money that will be guaranteed to go into their pocket as if we keep keep the employee share of the retirement paid. That truly comes right out of their check. That's a benefit to them directly. We all know, I mean, you've heard stories all around the state. Districts will get an ECA, and it doesn't go to teachers. But I would say that also with the state employee raises, and the governor's been very clear about this. Not every employee will get a 2% raise. And folks who have not been evaluated very well, folks who are in that lower 5, 6%, there's a name for it, escapes me right now, will receive no income. Folks who are farthest away from market, who are doing an exceptional job, will receive probably more than 2%. So we say 2% to find a number, but not every employee will get 2%, some smaller, some larger. And then to really answer your question, no, these steps are not taken into account on either the state side or the school side. And there is a little bit where a person says, I'm working at this job, and it's at this level, and this job comes open in state government. I apply and get it, and it increases my salary. Well, it's a different job, but I've got a salary increase. So those kind of things happen, too, as well. So it's really it's all over the map, but school districts, University of Wyoming, community colleges are block grants, and those trustees decide how it's going to be distributed. Thank you.
Madam Underwood, floor leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to clarify something that the good chairman of appropriations said with regard to the Attorney General's office. There are not regular steps in the Attorney General's office. You can be an Attorney 1, an Attorney 2, or an Attorney 3 based on your years of experience. And so you can move into those categories. But I think Attorney 3 is 5 to 7 years. So once you're 5 to 7 years out of law school and you hit that Attorney 3 level, and then if you spend the next 20 years of your professional life in the Attorney General's office, there are no steps other than us passing a pay increase. And I just wanted to, at least with that department, I'm intimately familiar.
Chairman Harshman?
Well, I think, Mr. Chairman, and however you define steps, if you want to define them yearly or every couple of years or every 5 years of state employees, get a retention kind of step. So, anyway, any other questions, Mr. Chairman?
Representative Patton. Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For those that aren't familiar with the way the school foundation program works, it does generate those increases automatically every year. This would be in addition to that.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a curiosity question more than anything, I believe. On the cheat sheet, page 44, you start off with the $1,542,000,000 of other funds, and then when you take out the $56 million, the curiosity is that apparently that came out of the foundation program by virtue of the reduction in salaries.
Chairman Harshman?
Chairman, I'll start with that question first. Good representative from Sheridan. That is just a correction of a mistake because the previous numbers were based back in the fall, based on the October Craig, and based on enrollment numbers that were not correct. So this $56 million is not a cut. It's a fact that it's an adjustment to show newer numbers, what January Craig is. January Craig's a little better, so the foundation program has to pay less to the locals, the guarantee part, and then the entitlement part. And that's it, and it reflects more precisely the numbers. So it's not a cut in anybody's salary. It's just a reduction of what it really is going to cost. Did that answer that? Okay, and then to the good chairman of education, what he's talking about is our school funding model is a lot of reporting, and they know exactly where every employee is in the pay scale. And he is right. They make adjustments for age and experience every year, but they also make adjustments for age and experience when older workers retire and leave. They know they're going to hire somebody in the lower. So those go both ways. Those go up and those goes down, those adjustments to employees. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further discussion? We're on section 205. Any further discussion? Question being called. All in favor of section 205, please say aye. Those opposed, say no.
Section 205 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next section for our consideration, House Bill 1, is Section 206. Chairman Harshman.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's on page 45 of your cheat sheet. Page 84 of your bill, Section 206, Department of Education. I'll just work down the cheat sheet. Number one on your cheat sheet, JC added footnote number one requiring the department to document transfers between and among programs via the B11 process. We want to treat this director the same as the previous director and any future directors. Number, you saw that language in the previous section. Number two on your cheat sheet, JAC added footnote number two specifying that the 15-16 student assessment and testing funds be transferred to the department to an account in the state auditors from the department to the state auditors funds, which can be monitored and approved for expenditure by the governor. Again, we want to treat folks the same as we have in the past. That's on page 85, I believe. You can read that language. And then number three on your cheat sheet, we adopted the Gov's letter number one, recommendation of $143,000. This is really the ETS cloud storage, and we've seen this in every agency. This was a deal as we worked budgets. It was left out of this agency, and that's where the governor's letter came back and corrected that. We no longer buy servers. It's less expensive to use cloud storage. Number four, JAC adopted the Gov's letter number seven, moving $600,000 of school foundation money to Agency 205, Unit 4601, to combine for that student assessment funding that I talked about on the ACT suite of Explore Plan and ACT for our 9th, 10th, and 11th graders. I am on, I think I'm on number six. Five, the print seems extremely small. Number five, added footnote number three, outlining education testing assessment provisions for the remaining 13-14 funds. That's on page 85. Number six, we added $450,000 in school foundation money for dual language immersion programs and added footnote number four. You can read that footnote on page 87. Number seven, JAC added $227,455 general fund for visually impaired students and added footnote number five requiring a report of utilization and effectiveness. This was denied by the governor. We felt strongly enough as a committee to reinsert that. Number eight, JAC added $5,000 general fund for a contest among schools to create a freedom wall to be displayed in every Wyoming high school and added footnote number six. If you've ever been to schools, I was in the state north of us, and the name of the high school is Senior, and it has orange and black colors, and one of these freedom walls is just fantastic. Had all the founding documents of our country. They had some from Montana as well, and just fabulous. And I thought, why not have a contest for our kids in this state to design freedom wall that we could, I think, should be in every high school in our state. And so that was something that I pushed. I'd certainly talk to you about it. But to have a contest within the Department of Ed. Okay, and then that's just $5,000. And then number nine was we added $50,000 for suicide prevention services to be used in conjunction with the anti-bullying measures. And this was not requested, but it's something we've talked about a lot as a committee. Unfortunately, Wyoming leads the United States as one of the leaders in this sad statistic. I don't know if $50,000 will make a difference. None of us probably know, but we wanted to at least make an effort to move in that direction. So I'd stand for any questions.
Representative Pieperinen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would ask on footnote 9, JAC added $50,000 in general funds for suicide prevention services. Can you expound on that a little bit? And how will...
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's a unit, an anti-bullying unit, and no monies were requested for this. We just, as a committee, through our deliberation, I think there was a... During our deliberations, there was a young high school kid who had committed suicide in Fremont County, another one in another part of the state. And again, these things tug at your heartstring. You don't know if 50,000 is the right number or if it'll But we wanted to make a statement that at least kind of get our Department of Ed and to get some initiatives perhaps to get with schools to see what we can do. I mean, the whole thing on suicide's totally changed. I mean, it used to be when we were kids, you never talked about it. It was like forbidden. And it's totally changed now. And we want to do whatever we can, I think. So that's it. I don't really have any more information for the representative. So thank you.
Representative Hutchings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a comment. On note number 9, it does appear that the more money we spend on say no to drugs, say no to smoking, sex, whatever, it seems to increase the problem, not to decrease it.
Chairman Harshman.
Mr. Chairman, I can't really respond to that. I think that's, you know, an anecdotal statement, I'd say. I think there's certainly there's been a lot of work across this country, and we've got folks who are, we have less kids drinking now than ever. We've made a lot of progress, less young people smoking, all those things. Things go in cycles, certainly, and a lot of times our problem, we get some of these issues on top of them, we move on to the next issue and think it's solved, and it arises again. But I think it's continual effort, and that's what your committee chose on that. Thank you.
Any further discussion? We're on section 206. Any further discussion? Question hasn't been called. All those in favor of section 206, House Bill number 1, please say aye. Those opposed, no. House Bill 206 has passed committee of the whole. The next section for our consideration is section 211. Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move section 211. Board of Equalization is on page 46 of your cheat sheet, page 88 of your bill. JEC accepted the governor's recommendation and made no adjustments to the governor's recommended budget, and there are no footnotes. Are there any questions?
Representative Blickery. Question haven't been called. We're on section 211 of House Bill 1. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 211 has passed this committee of the whole. Our next section for our consideration is section 220.
So, Mr. Chairman, imagine my surprise when I looked up there today and saw that we were being led by the keeper of the dynasty.
Thank you, Representative Blickery. Back on section 211.
Mr. Chairman.
220, I'm sorry. My mistake. 220.
I move section. Mr. Chairman, I move section 220, Environmental Quality Council. We adopted the governor's recommendations for $770,000, made no changes whatsoever. If you want to look at it, it's on page 46 of the cheat sheet, page 89 of the budget. And if there's no questions, I move section 220.
Represent.
If for those who want to know what it is, the Environment Equality Council is a sort of quasi jury of folks that are appointed by the governor to, so that issues that relate with with environmental issues can be heard in front of them. It's been there forever, and it gets used a few times a year when people have appeals as a base with DEQ.
Is there any further discussion? Any further discussion? Question being called, we're on section 220 of House Bill 1. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 220 has passed committee of the whole. Our next section for our consideration to House Bill 1 is section 251. Am I correct? No. Nope. I'm sorry. Section 270. My mistake again. Representative Stubson, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move Section 270, Office of Administrative Hearings. You'll see that this, we went with the Gov's Rex on this. The budget is no change really in the standard budget. It's a flat budget. If there aren't any questions, I go ahead and move that we close section 270.
You've heard the motion. Any further discussion? Question being called. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. 251 has passed committee of the whole. Next section for our consideration is 270. Representative Burkhart.
Mr. Chairman, I think that was 270.
That was 270. I'm sorry, I'm out of sequence. For the record, this is section 251. Representative Burkhart. I'm out of sequence again.
Mr. Chairman, we'll now handle all the various boards and commissions. All of these are generally self-funded through their own fees and activities and do not use state funds. And I will do this as a consent list. You have this list in your inboxes if you want to go along. The consent list consists of Section 12, Board of Architects and Landscapers, 16, Board of Barber Examiners, 17, Board of Radiological Technicians, 19, Professional Teaching Standards Board, 22, Respiratory Care Practitioners Board, 28, Board of Registry and Podiatry, 30, Board of Chiropractic Examiners, 31, Collection Agency Board, 33, Board of Cosmetology, 34, Board of Dental Examiners, 35, Board of Embalmers, 38, Pair Mutual Commission, 43, Dietetics Licensing Board, 52, Medical Licensing Board, 54, Board of Nursing, 56, Board of Optometry, 58, Board of Speech Pathologists and Audiologists, 59, Board of Pharmacy, 61, Wyoming Board of Certified Professional Accountants, 62, Board of Physical Therapy, 64, Board of Hearing Aid Specialists, 65, Board of Athletic Trainers, 68, Board of Psychologist Examiners, 75, Board of Outfitters, 78, Mental Health Professionals Licensing, 79, Board of Nursing Home Administrators, 83, Board of Occupational Therapy, 84, Board of Professional Geologists, and 251, Board of Veterinary Medicine. The JAC accepted the governor's recommendations on these boards. There were no adjustments and no footnotes. Are there any questions?
Representative Burkhart, for everybody's information, so that we're all on the same sheet of music here, we are on the page 89 of the bill. That corresponds to page 47 of your cheats sheet. And we're working off a consent list that looks like this.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct.
Representative Burkhart. Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we went down through all of those boards, it just came to me, didn't appropriations, as they looked at all of these, there's an awful lot of them, think about any consolidation any changes or any reductions as they got that? It's just a general question, because you see that many, you begin to wonder, how necessary are all of them? A good number of them probably you put in statute by this body, but in turn, was that discussed at all?
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, it was. We actually, I believe it was last session, eliminated the Board of Animal Euthanasia. That is no longer an established board in the state. And I know that the Management Audit Committee looked at a number of the boards and made some recommendations, for example, combining the Board of Cosmetology and the Board of Barber Examiners. However, no action was taken on that.
Representative Miller.
Just to follow up, Mr. Chairman, on that subject, we do have a bill, House Bill 62, that cleans up some of these licensure boards. There's also a bill coming through the Senate that eliminates a couple of them. So you may want to take a look at those, because they're going to be rolling up here in the near future.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you very much, Representative. If there are no other questions...
Question being called on the consent list. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. The consent list has carried. It is passed the committee of the whole. The next one up for our consideration, bear with me should I go astray here, is section 18. Correct? Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move section 18, Real Estate Commission. It's on page 48 of your cheat sheet and page 91 of your bill. JEC accepted the governor's recommendation and made one adjustment in that commission to correct budget bill fund coding. So if you look at that, you'll see where money was removed from one fund and transferred to another, and it's just a coding change. There's no change in the monies. Are there any questions?
Is there any further discussion on section 18? Any further discussion? 18.
Question.
Question being called. All in favor of section 18, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Section 18 has passed committee of the whole. The next section for our consideration is section 19 on, I'm sorry?
36.
Is number 36. Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move section 36, the Board of Midwifery, is on page 51 of your cheat sheet and page 94 of your bill. The JC made adjustments to the governor's recommendation and reduced general fund revenues by $2,724. This is the only board that is still being supported by the state, and the reduction was done in order to encourage some self-sufficiency on the part of the board. The intention is that their fees and licensure cover their costs. The JC further added footnote number one, specifically empowering the board to accept grants, gifts, transfers, donations, etc. This board financially is in a precarious position right now. I believe there are only less than a dozen licensed midwives in the state, and this was to encourage them during the biennium to improve that licensure or dissolve the board. And with that, are there any questions?
Question haven't been called. We're on section 36. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Section 36 has passed committee of the whole. The next 46. I'm sorry. The next one up is okay. The next section for our consideration is section 46. Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move section 46, Mixed Martial Arts Board. It is on page 53 of your cheat sheet and page 96 of your bill. The JC adopted the governor's recommendation to align the budgeted amounts of this board with anticipated expenditures within the 200 series, and that resulted in no additional funding. The JC also adopted the governor's recommendation to divide budget authority into quarterly allotments, and JC added $10,000 in special revenue, which is their fees and the money they receive from these exhibitions, and added footnote number one requiring the board to repay the general fund for its initial appropriation. This board was established during the last session, and they had some misunderstanding on how the general fund appropriation was to work. They spent it in a manner that wasn't consistent with boards and commissions, and the decision was made that they should repay that back to the general fund in order to recoup those mispayments and that. They are actually in fairly good financial condition right now and can do that, and that was the reason for the quarterly allotments, was just to make life a little easier on them, and they anticipate pretty much paying off that initial funding of $10,000 during the coming year. Are there any questions?
There any further discussion? Any further discussion? Question being called. All in favor of section 46, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 46 has passed committee of the whole. The next section for our consideration is section 52, located on page 97 of the bill. Page 53 of your cheat sheet.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I think we're on CapCon, and
CapCon, could you please give me?
And I think we're on page 62 of your cheat sheet. I think we've completed all the boards. Are we? Let's just double check. I think it's two pages. It starts on 61, but the notes start on at the bottom of 61, where you see 1, 2, 3, and so on. And then we'll flip over, and I think the members of the JC have. I think Representative Escobel, I'll do numbers 1, 2, and 3 on page 61. And then you'll have the rest of those 4 through 15 on 62. So, members, I think we'll use the cheat sheet for CapCon. Mr. Chairman?
Yeah. Chairman Harshman, for everybody's clarification, this is section 6, page 61 of your cheat sheet, correct? Section 6. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we stand in recess until 1:30, and we'll start right where we left off on the budget amendment at 1:30. We'll have to have committee announcements before you call for that motion.
Any committee announcements? Speaker Lubnow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee number 12 rules will meet today, February 18th, upon adjournment in room 302 to discuss House Bill 37, the revisor's bill, House Bill 36, the constituent service allowance, House Bill 89, constituent service allowance, large legislative districts, House Bill 62, general procedure for licensure boards, House Bill 123, unified administrative code and database, and any proposed rule changes.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet Wednesday, 10 minutes after adjournment in room 302. Please note the room change, 302, where we will hear House Bill 95, Diabetes Care Planning, House Bill 143, Health Information Study, and House Bill 169, Medicaid Waiver Programs, Case Management System.
Chairman Gingrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet right now in room 302. Not our regular room. We'll be in 302. We will finish up what we were started this morning on House Bill 155, electronic citation fees, and then we will move into House Bill 77, student religious liberties.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee number 3, Revenue, meets tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., and we're going to discuss House Bill 125, Local Option Tax Municipalities, and then we're HB 122, Cigarette Certification, and HB 145, Streamlined Sales Tax. And they may not come in the order they appear here tomorrow morning, depending on how I sleep tonight. Thank you.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 7, Corporations, will meet immediately upon noon recess, and we are scheduled to hear House Bills 98, State Investment Services, 13, UCC Liens Electronic Filings, 14, Business Entities Revisions, 15, Business Entities Enforcement and Penalties, 101, Elections, Vote Centers, and Electronic Poll Books, and 146, Study of State Human Resource Positions. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd also like to announce Corporations meeting for tomorrow afternoon, because this is not our normal schedule. So that is Wednesday, February 19th, upon afternoon adjournment. And we are scheduled to hear House Bills 88, Post-Dated Checks, House Bill 159, Workplace Safety Grant Program, House Bill 106, County Firework Bans, and House Bill 137, County Road Construction Competitive Bidding.
Chairman Zwanwitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will meet 10 minutes after adjournment this evening in H-17. We have 5 bills we're going to discuss. House Bill 12, 80 miles per hour speed limit. House Joint Resolution 5, Moose Wilson Roadway, House Bill 165, Game Roadkill, House Bill 29, Non-Consensual Towing Rotation List, and House Bill 116, Towing Company Regulations.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, has a time correction on the bill, or on the announcement that will be on your desks shortly. We're starting at 8:30 a.m. in room H18, and we're going to consider House Bill 27, Article B, Constitutional Convention. What did I say, 8:30? Yes. I'm making it really confusing.
Chairman Lockhart?
Maybe it was a wish when I said 8:30. I meant 7:30. Now I'm getting it improved. At 7:30, for anybody, we'll have a corrected one on your desk shortly. House Bill 27, Article 5, Constitutional Convention. House Bill 44, Credit Card Fraud. House Bill 78, Environmental Protection Agency Actions. House Bill 164, Wind River Reservation Boundaries. House Bill 64, Minerals, Mining and Mineral Contracts Professional Services. House Bill 177, Federal Tax Lien. And House Bill 74, Election Ballot Process, if time allows. And there are three others that we'll try to get to. Some of these will move quickly, some of them not so quick. We're going to try to do our best to get to them.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Friends, I just want to remind you that today is the Whammy Lunch, 12 o'clock down at the depot. These are the med school students who are here, and if any of you feel that your communities are short on physicians, I would suggest that this is a good time to have lunch with med school students who are getting ready to decide where to practice, and you can maybe convince them that your town is the greatest place on earth and they should set up practice in your town. So what a great opportunity for you. I will, if anyone wants to drive over with me, you could meet me at my desk in a few minutes. I've got room for about 5 or 6 more people in my car.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the House stand in recess until 1:30.
You've heard the motion. All in favor, say aye. Opposed, no. The House will be in recess until 1:30.